back again. Welcome to Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located in Quincy Point at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. On tonight's show, we'll be joined by Boston Bruins goaltender prospect, Alaska native, and Hobie Baker finalist, UMaine hockey goaltender Jeremy Swayman. Tremendous. I thought tremendous interview.
Absolutely.
Really touched all the points from fishing to hockey to
Alaska.
Alaska was a very big point on the interview, which Alaska very underrated, in my opinion.
I think we're going to make a trip out there. 100%.
We're going to make a trip everywhere, I'm telling you.
And we
you.
Have to make a trip to when they fucking open the garden back up to us.
At least.
Whenever Mr. Swayman gets in that fucking, in the crease.
Yeah, gets the nod. Hoping so soon. Afterwards, we'll have our reactions from the week one in the NFL. We catch up with the NBA with the Celtics. Find themselves behind right now in the Eastern Conference Finals. Hopefully, I mean, it's Thursday night. They're playing right now, game two. Hopefully, it's tied by them. And we'll also have our predictions for the UFC Fight Night. Covington versus Woodley. Finishing up, we'll have Steel Salute spread in with my Bonehead of the Week. And don't forget, guys, don't forget to tune into our Steel and Naz NFL Countdown Live for Week 2 this Sunday at 11 a.m. on our Facebook and Twitter channels.
Yep. And I promise not to be hungover and completely miss the show and throw up all over Naz's deck.
My recycle bin. Yeah. But we'll leave it at that. And here we go with Jeremy Swayman. And now we're here with goaltender just recently signed with the Boston Bruins. UMaine, should I say, well, not alum now, I guess. Jeremy Swayman, how are we doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. What's been going on? I know it's the end of the summer, but have you been kind of keeping spending your time with all this stuff going on?
This is the longest I've spent up in Alaska since like my sophomore year of high school. So I've been trying to find different things to do. But quite frankly, I've been pretty busy all summer, man. I've been outside a bunch, connected with a bunch of friends and been able to skate too and work out. All the facilities are open here, which is nice. But other than that, man, just really enjoying the summer with family and friends outside.
Yeah. Nice. We'll get to Beantown a little bit, but I really want to know about this background in Alaska. So growing up in Alaska, playing hockey, like we've all seen a Mystery Alaska, like Kurt Russell, like that's my guy. Like, is it any similarities to that, like skating on ponds all the time, or, you know, what really goes into growing up playing hockey in the state of Alaska?
Well, that movie is actually filmed in Canada.
So oh, you wow. Really see. Yeah. I'm glad you know your facts. That's great.
Yeah. Dude. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's funny. But it is pretty similar like that. Man, when I first got here, like, there was still snow on the ground, and I was skating on the pond, too. Which was wild. Like, I haven't been here that early in years. And so I got to play some pond hockey. And then literally, like, I've been here the whole summer. So, I mean, right now it's hunting season too. And I'm not a big hunter, but a lot of my friends are. And it's pretty cool to, like, hear their stories and see their pictures and stuff. But I'm a big fisherman. So it's been a really fun year for fishing outside. And then, of course, backpacking and camping and stuff. So, yeah, it's been a really fun and unique summer, to say the least.
What's your favorite type of fishing? You got like fly fishing, ice fishing maybe up there? Like, what's the go-to? What's the move?
Yeah, I mean, I've really been a ton of fly fishing this year. You've nailed it. You know, it's a really unique style of fishing. You know, it's really nitpicky, and these rainbow trout up here are absolutely gorgeous. And so people come all over the world to fish these waters and be able to do it just on a weekend, you know, whim. It's pretty fortunate, so I've been getting out as much as I can, doing some fly fishing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was at the Weymouth Mass, like, reservation, like, a couple weeks ago, and that probably doesn't even compare.
No.
I think that'd be the best. That'd be comparing, like, it's Wendy's to, like, mess. A five-star restaurant or something.
That's fucking insulting. Yeah. That's insulting.
Five-star restaurant to, like, yeah, awful.
Can I ask you, like, so is hockey, like, the main thing to do up in Alaska? Or, like, what is, like, what snow dogs? Like, I know Alaska's known for a lot of things, I guess, but like, is hockey the go-to? Because I guess it could be.
Yeah, I mean, in youth sports, I think hockey dominates Alaska's, you know, youth. But I mean, a lot of summer sports are pretty relevant here. I know there's a good baseball league and football league as well. But I mean, growing up here, like, I always was pretty determined on doing hockey, and every day if I wasn't on the ice, you know, indoors, I was on the ice outside. You know, in the winter time, but Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the sled dog races, the Iditarod. I used to help out with that when I was a younger kid.
Wow.
Nice. That's a bucket.
That's a bucket list item for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get out to Alaska for sure.
Yeah, I know my dog actually at home, Jade, she's an Alaskan husky from a Iditarod sled kennel too. So we got a lot of connections with the Iditarod. It's pretty cool.
Wow. There we go.
So, I mean, it sounds like Alaska is, like, incredible. What made you be, like, I mean, probably the competition, but was just like, all right, I'm going to go to UMaine now, which is on the complete other side of the state.
Country.
I mean, you'd be really surprised the similarities that Maine has to Alaska. Like, that was a big deciding factor for me, at least, was that there's so much stuff to do outside there. And so I fell in love right away when I went on my visit.
I was really interested too. Like, is there any similarities? Like, I know Maine. When eventually you get up there, there's like, it's like winter wonderland. Is there any similarities to Alaska? We'll get off Alaska soon. I just want to know this.
Oh no, I have one more. I have an Alaska question.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, The winters is pretty hard to compare. Like, Alaska's winters are brutal. Like, plain and simple. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like the snow. It's dark all the time. But I mean, the snow is pretty unique, and like, I know skiing's a huge sport here. I grew up skiing. A lot of my friends grew up skiing, so that was actually my second sport growing up, was skiing. So I mean, that's probably one of the top sports here besides hockey too. But yeah, I mean, Maine, it was pretty similar in the fact that, you know, they got a decent amount of snow, but the light, you know, it came at least, you know, by 9 a.m. rather than, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So that was a big bonus.
The sun comes out. Yeah.
Exactly,
that's huge. That's huge.
What you got, guys?
30 days.
Oh, so my name is James, man. Nice to meet you. Pleasure to have you on the show. So people underestimate how big actually Alaska is. I had an idea on the show, because again, I'm not the biggest hockey guy, fan, I admit. Well, not fan, because I do love the sport, but I don't keep up with it as much. But I had an idea for a goalie. Why wouldn't you just put, like, the largest massive human you could find, put him in the net, and you have no room, kind of like Alaska, the size of Alaska at least, you have no room to score on this goalie if the goalie is like a ginormous person.
It sounds
what do you
like
think about that idea?
Yeah.
Prime,
right? Yeah.
Would that work, you think?
I don't know. I better start eating my Wheaties, I guess.
Well, you don't have to.
If you just took my current quarantine diet, you'd get to the three bills or four bills very fast.
Beef and cheese all day.
That's what I want to hear.
So, you play your first 3 years at UMaine. Obviously, you had this past year was unbelievable year. I'm reading down here. Hobie Baker finalists and everything like that. I know the team kind of struggled your first couple of years, but you guys really found a lot of success this year. How much satisfaction was kind of in and out of the amount of work you put in and seeing all these awards, ended up signing with the Bruins, just the whole shebang?
I mean, we didn't achieve our goal, which is to win a national championship this year, which is pretty sad. And, you know, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow for a lot of years to come, because I thought we had a super special group this year. You know, you can ask any guy in that locker room, you know, if they actually believe that we could win, you know, a national championship, and I guarantee they would all say yes. So, you know, that's tough to think about. But as far as personal awards, I mean, none of those could have happened without the teammates and coaches I had with me this year. And, you know, I think that my previous 2 years that, you know, you made my freshman, sophomore year, all accumulated into what this year came out of. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity I had there, and really none of this could have happened without everyone involved, the UMaine staff and of course the team.
Yeah, I mean, like that sounds all good and all, but then you signed with the Bruins and had the finalist nominee all within 48 hours of each other. Did I see that?
I honestly don't remember. It was all a blur, man.
Nice.
Probably. Yeah.
Way to rebound that question. I like
that.
Great
day, yeah.
Is that your way of saying you were drunk when you got drafted?
A couple of Bud Lights mixed in, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
So what's the plan? What have you been kind of in contact with Boston now of things going forward? Obviously, they're still in the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Eastern Conference, the finals kind of wrapping up hopefully tonight or whatever. But, yeah, what's your plans in the future?
I mean, really, it's just day by day. You know, I've definitely been in contact with some staff members and a lot of the coaching staff at the Providence Bruins as well. And, you know, they've all been hands-on. You know, they're just being honest with us. They're not giving us any, you know, inclinations that, you know, what's going to happen, because really I don't think anyone knows, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's nothing that I want to dwell on too much, because at the end of the day, I know that, you know, we're going to be able to play again one day, and that's what I'm excited for. So, truthfully, just focusing on the here and now is all I'm worried about.
Obviously, it's the Bruins for you now, but what was the team growing up in Alaska? I mean, who were you rooting for up there growing up?
NHL team?
Yep.
I mean, we really didn't have one. Like, everyone, every different family had a different team because, you know, we could. So
I
followed goalies. I know Braden Holtby was a big role model of mine early on. And then, you know, obviously I like Carey Price. And now, of course, Vasilevsky is a stud. So, I mean, I really never had a favorite team growing up, per se. I just followed the goalies.
You know, talking to a bunch of Bruins fans, that you just named all the goalies that we
those are like my three mortal enemies.
Very talented goalies. No, you're not wrong. I'm just
hilarious.
Those are the guys. I mean, Washington had our number all day.
They Carey Price one, Holtby two, and like you nailed it.
Yeah, Malcolm Subban three. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So, you do the is it a prospective camp? You guys go in once a year. Something like that in the summer. They probably didn't have it this year.
Yeah, it's the development camp.
Yeah, the development camp. So how was that experience like? I mean, you get to meet, you get to see Cassidy up close and personal, right? All the guys. So that must be a great experience going in. And then I saw you guys were at Fenway Park. You guys must have had an outing there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Every year we go there, you know, it's a super exciting time. I mean, starting from the year I got drafted in 2017, you know, staff members and other prospects opened, you know, welcomed me with open arms. And so I really felt like a part of the organization at an early stage. And I think that's a really good formula to have. And it shows that they've been so successful in the past years because of the leadership and you know, just the overall, I think, just quality of people they have in that staff and in locker room. So, you know, I couldn't be more excited to be a part of this organization. And, you know, I'm really excited for what the future holds.
I always ask when we have someone who's been drafted in the sport on, like, what's that draft day feel kind of like? I think you were in the fourth round, right? So when you hear your name called, I know you're a big team guy and appreciate all your teammates and everything like that, but that day, how special was that?
I mean, that was a big day. Yeah, it's hard to explain the emotion that we had that day. I mean, you know, it's draft day, so you really don't know what's going to happen. Nothing's guaranteed. And getting that phone call, I think my agent called me first, you know, it was like, you couldn't believe it at first. And then you realize like, oh my God, it's the Boston Bruins, like the original six team. And, you know, and the more I learned about the organization, you know, being a part of it, just, it really came together for me. And again, I don't think I could have landed at a better spot. So that was a pretty exciting time in my life. And now making it official and being a part of them, you know, on the roster is even more special. So I'm really excited for what's to come.
Yeah, I'm seeing it on my call sheet right now. I didn't even notice you. So you signed the contract on St. Patty's Day. That's a big deal around here.
Yeah, that's a big day. Big anniversary day.
Meant to be, right? Sweet.
Exactly.
So how did the, like, because I know you guys go to Fenway every year. How did that go? Like, I mean, hitting on Fenway Park. Have you, like played baseball or anything like that?
Yeah, I played baseball growing up, and, like, Fenway Park is, you know, household name in MLB, right? So it's like people are buying Fenway Park sand for buku dollars, and now I'm in the dugout, and now I'm on home plate, and that was just a really cool experience, and it was super fun to share with a lot of the prospects and staff members there. And yeah, I don't know, I mean, that was pretty exciting. I was probably more nervous going up to bat and starting a game at UMaine, man. It was pretty crazy. Yeah,
no, staring the green monster down, like, God damn.
We need a new third baseman on our softball team. So, yeah, if you want to sign up for that, we're giving our left center fielder $30 million like IOUs a year. So, like, you could probably just get on that list.
We got you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, someday it'll come in, yeah.
So, first initially entering the city of Boston, I know you weren't too familiar with it, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, but how was that kind of feeling going in, you know, not really seeing it, like, and then going in for the first time and really seeing all around it, whether it's North Station or anything you really noticed in the city that you were kind of blown away with?
Sorry, I kind of missed that first part, but you said what, like, going into the city for the first time?
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, you're in, like, Alaska, you're not in Boston a lot. What was your first impression of it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely haven't been around a big city a lot growing up. And, you know, I'm just blown away. Like, everyone I've met from Boston has been super nice. And, you know, everyone that lives there and has had a chance to live there and go to college all say they love it. And, you know, now being more around it, especially playing hockey East weekends, you know, it's been super special to see North End. And then now my roommate is from Braintree, and I've been connected with so many different people around the city.
Big
and, So, no, I absolutely love Boston, and, you know, I definitely am excited to call it home one day.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah. A great place. Looking a great place. Yes.
So, I mean, the NHL playoffs are going on right now. Was it Lightning 3-2 on the Islanders?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Dallas wrapped up Vegas. What have you kind of liked about seeing the postseason? I mean, I know there's no fans or anything like that, but it looks like it's been some incredible hockey.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the biggest thing I've liked is that I was pretty curious to see how competitive it would be and the speed and, you know, accuracy of the players. And, man, I've been blown away by the fact of how good it's been and how competitive it's been. And it just goes to show, like, you know, it's a professional mindset and mentality. Like, it doesn't matter if there's fans or not. You know, guys are playing their hearts out because they know that the Stanley Cup's on the line. And I think it's pretty cool to see. You know, it doesn't matter what the surrounding is. All that matters is, you know, the games that they're playing and what they're playing for.
Oh, yeah, I was very impressed myself because they are getting after it. Like, they are. It is playoff hockey.
Like the Bruins looking good. Obviously, when the when Tuukka Rask backed out, obviously gave him a little bit of a disadvantage. But in my opinion, I've seen Tampa Bay Lightning have been the most dominant team I've seen in whatever you want to call it, the Toronto slash now Edmonton bubble. I mean, I think that 1-3 lines, Vasilevskiy, you know, he really stood out there. I think they're going to take it all.
Possible.
Yeah, no, that's a good bet to have for sure.
Yeah. Did anyone have any more questions or anything like that? Jeremy, really appreciate you joining the show, and best of luck with everything you do. And, yeah, hope to see you in Boston sometime when all this stuff, you know, kind of quiets down and you get the call.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you in the garden, buddy.
Let's go Bruins.
We're ready. We're ready.
Sounds good, boys.
Beers on us. Beers on us when you get home.
Thanks, each save will get you a beer.
Racking them up.
Let's go.
All right,
Have a good buddy.
And that was an interview with Jeremy Swayman, who signed with the Bruins, I think we talked about, on St. Patrick's Day?
Yes.
So, yeah, get ready. I mean, there's trouble with the Bruins goaltending right now. I mean, maybe Tuukka Rask will be back. Obviously, Halak's not the guy. So look out for the name Jeremy Swayman, because he might be coming to a hockey crease near you.
Do you think Rask is, like, not going to be
I think
alive?
Rask comes back. Basically.
I think he'll definitely come back.
Yeah.
And this kid, Jeremy, has another couple years
of
swing.
Honestly,
fire the takes, brother. Fire the takes.
I'm gonna fire him. We just talked to a perfectly fine goalie who could probably take his spot like tomorrow.
I don't know.
I
like the angle.
How much Swayman?
I don't want a goalie who's gonna just be like, hey, I don't.
Did you know Swayman before this and be like, oh yeah, I got you, bro?
No, I didn't say I was gonna toot his horns, but I'm saying. And I'm not going to say anything bad about Rask either, because I'm sure it was probably mental health or fucking something to
kinda
do with his family.
Like it kind of seems like you were going to go down that
daughter.
Road.
What I am going to say is him leaving us in the playoffs to die like that, I mean, I don't know if I'd want him back on my team. Like, I truly don't know that. I don't – whatever's going on, sure, fine. It sucks.
Well, I do.
But if you're not going to battle through that, I don't think you're winning a championship.
Not many goalies that good, brother.
There aren't many goalies.
I ride with Tuukka Rask, but the day I'm able to ride with Jeremy Swayman,
that's fair.
Is great.
Yeah. So great interview, fair to say. Should we take this opportunity to try to, you know, create a nickname for the Swayman? So, like, maybe, you know, we start the nickname, and then once he makes it big, it's like, oh, I have this nickname. And like, oh yeah, where'd that nickname come from? Oh, the Stealing Ass Podcast.
The Beantown Swami. Yeah. The Beantown Swami.
I don't hate that. That's pretty good for improv.
I don't know. That'll be a working. That'll
the
be
Beantown Swami.
Swami, like Boomer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll run it by the Swayman.
Swayman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could tie something with Alaska.
What
I
do
mean.
They call Jared?
The Alaskan bullworm. SpongeBob.
That was really bad.
That will be a shirt outside of the garden if he becomes our goalie. Like that
LeBron's
will be
a shirt. LeBron's a douche and Alaskan bullworm.
I'm trying to think of the nicknames they call Jeremy in Wedding Crashers because they got a couple good ones. Bubba Ganoush. I'm going to call Jeremy Swayman Bubba Ganoush.
That's great.
Wait, we're cooking up some names here.
Well, we'll keep the train rolling, though. Steele, who do you got for your bonehead of the week this week?
Bonehead.
He does salutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Salutes only,
might be the bonehead of the week.
Yeah, bonehead of the week.
First off, I have to come out of the gate. Like, my salute is Gardner Minshew, and I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed on this podcast. Because I said pick the Colts on the Pick'em show. I had the Colts.
Yeah,
in
what
the
a fucking idiot.
I had the Colts in the fucking Survivor pool thing. I said they had nobody. Well, I forgot they had Gardner Minshew.
You might be bonehead of the week.
Yeah, Minshew.
That's why I said bonehead of the week because Mike Steele's the bonehead of the week for Colonel Gardner Minshew. That's my save.
So yeah, fair enough. Came up with it right now. What a dickhead. But Gardner Minshew, he comes out. Throws 19 for 20 passes, breaking his previous record of having the best completion percentage for week one.
Do you think Philip Rivers has any swag on Gardner Minshew?
Oh, no.
Like, how could you?
Dude, that's not,
how could you?
Like, that's not fair.
I mean, that's a,
hey,
that's 100%.
Philip Rivers has six kids. Gardner Minshew has a mustache. Yeah,
it is much higher than six.
Have you seen Gardner Minshew's corduroy jacket? Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
He had a corduroy jacket on this week?
Yeah.
I just want to say it's much higher than six. Philip Rivers has like 10 kids.
Big shout out to Antonio.
When can we get Gardner back in the studio, you think?
Mid-show rolls on. He just came off a big week one win.
One day whenever he leaves the pub.
He's still fighting the hangover, dude.
It's not Gardner Minshew. It's Gardner... Me shoo.
Love it.
Chris Berman. That was awesome.
Chris Berman twice in the pod.
We should get him on the pod.
I thought that was you like orgasming as the woman he's having sex with as being like the best, coolest, fucking sexiest QB in the league.
Probably the same thing.
Yeah, close. I think they were close,
I'll stick to
these
the end.
And orgasms are almost the same.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That's for another pod, brother.
I'll stick to the NFL talk. So, the Pats came in, and, obviously the N'Keal Harry fumbled through the end zone. Everything kind of kept everything from a blowout. But from what I saw, I mean, I know they play the Dolphins, who suck. But Cam Newton and the boys came to play, huh?
No, it looked good. It looked good. Loved all the movement on offense, running around, the options and shit. It was new. It was something new to see.
Yeah.
You don't see that uniform and that shit happening.
The thing I got was like the first half they played like so conservative. I felt like they were playing like the Chiefs. And then in the second half they're like, "Okay, this team sucks. Like let's throw
fuck
the
around
fucking
a little,
ball."
Yeah.
Everyone's saying bully ball. Is that what we're getting?
I'm down.
Like, is that bully ball?
It's like, kind of like what the Titans did last year, just some hard-nosed tough football.
I just don't want Cam to get hurt, but until that day happens, fucking
big,
run it down the throat.
Big shout out to
like
a linebacker, Chase Winovich, too. He played a great game.
No, he's going to be a beast.
On every
he's
tackle.
He's going to be a beast.
Dude with the long hair?
Yeah, when we drafted him. Like, I think he's going to be amazing. Yeah.
I think so, too. Their kicking game was awful. I think we're still doing tryouts. We might be doing that this weekend. Anton tried and failed. I'm not even going to bring up James' attempt. I've seen better, but...
If I did connect... That would have gone right through.
It was right there. The leg angle was perfect.
You should have seen the imprint in the ground I made. It was like 6 inches deep.
A guy who was behind the goalpost, watching him like line up and get ready to drill it, I was like, he's going to nail this. There's something about James when he...
The presence was there.
He looked like he had that kind of swagger.
And you
like
know
Anton looked nervous.
That's half the battle to look like it. You know what I mean?
Anton didn't have the swagger.
And so you know who else 15. Looks like it and can back it up too is Russell Wilson, and that's who the Pats have this Sunday night. And again, I have retired from gambling. I've lost way too much money I can even count. But I would say the Seattle Seahawks are a lock. Use the L word, lock, against the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of Sunday Night Football, I thought your Cowboys were a lock last week against the Rams. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean,
they looked like dog shit.
It's the ghost of Jason Garrett.
No, it's not the ghost. It's
you
Mike
guys
McCarthy
are still blaming Jason
dumbass.
Garrett. Get off
you
your shit, Cowboys fans.
Right, I was watching
he's
this
not
game.
There anymore to blame. He's not there anymore to blame.
Well,
you just suck.
The blame also can go on that terrible call with Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey should be a point guard of the Houston Rockets with all that flop. Are you kidding me? But I'm not going to blame it on that one call because, again, football is a game. You know, one play does not define the game, and there was many plays where the Cowboys just didn't bring it. And I am worried about that.
Can I tell you when it happens? Like, when it happened? It was when it was 4th and 3. They were down 20-17. All they had to do was kick a field goal, tie the game. And he said, no, let's go for it.
You don't like
an
aggressive?
Idiot. No, like Bill Belichick. No problem with that. Bill Belichick plays chess. Everyone else plays checkers. And Mike McCarthy, yeah. I don't know what he's playing, like Stratego, whatever it is. He might be playing some dumb shit.
Yeah, that was
RuneScape.
It's not only the going for it, I think, was possibly the right call. I know you disagree. But it's also
horrible call. Tie the game.
You never play call. It's you,
it's the first game of the year, James. That's a bad move.
Go for the win. What's better, 1-0 or 1-3?
Yeah.
You throw a 2-yard in route. That's not. You at least throw the ball past the first down. So whatever happens, you catch the ball.
It's all these decision making. It's going for it. Oh yeah, let's throw a 2-yard in route. And then
let's not get hung up on such a garbage team like the Cowboys.
You're right. Yeah.
I mean, we got a Cowboys fan. I know we got. So we got.
I feel bad, but he's going to defend them till the cows
come.
Exactly.
No one else gives a shit.
Yeah. You know what? Let's switch it up. How weird was it seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform?
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was truly.
It was one of the grossest things I've seen.
Honestly, it was disgusting to see him play bad.
You know what was even worse than that? Seeing Gronk. Like, Gronk looked like he should have been in a retirement home.
I thought
that guy couldn't even move.
I thought Gronk would bounce back a little this season. Absolutely not.
No,
I
mean, they play
a corpse.
They play a cupcake this weekend with the Panthers.
He's just smaller.
So, dude, I think they'll be showing a lot better this week.
Give me the Panthers. And all I got to say to Mr. Brady is, welcome to the NFC. Because you have been...
Who are you, LeBron James?
You've had the luxury of facing the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins twice a year for fucking 20 years.
What a phony.
So now it's your – and, you know, Drew Brees gets to play in a dome. That's why all
Who's
stats
won the last
have
two?
Well, that
what,
last game was in a
what
dome.
What conference has won the last two Super Bowls? Yeah, I didn't think so.
I bet the AFC East, I bet those three teams have a winning record against the NFC East over the span of time Tom's been on the Patriots. Sure. I bet they do.
And last time I checked, the Detroit Lions were still in the NFC, so like that team blows.
Yeah, what losers?
That was
dude.
The most Lions.
Oh
game
my
of
god!
All time,
every person.
Mitch
in this
is
room
back.
Here,
Mitch is back.
Yeah, everyone listening, like you could have caught that. Everyone and that guy
I
dropped
caught that.
It was pathetic.
As
sure.
backup
sad.
To Paul Reamer in high
yeah.
school,
yeah,
freshman year, I would have caught that.
Oh, there are Pop Warner 6-year olds that catch that pass.
Only thing was worse was the Cincinnati Bengals kicker. Feeling his Johnny Drama calves after he misses the game-losing 31-yard field goal. That was loserville. Randy
kicker.
Bullock, I think his name is.
They fucked Joe Burrow. They couldn't
give a shit who the Bengals
kicker
is.
That's a tough day for the rookie.
Goskowski,
you know?
Everything
we're not
he's done
anymore.
In his career, he would never play another game for my team after that. You go 1-for-4
he
and a missed
it.
Extra point, you are not my kicker
he
anymore.
He kicked the
You're
game-winning
gone.
Field goal 25 yards. I think gutter balls would have had a better chance to hit the uprights.
Like, not a chance.
Before you guys really interrupt my cowboy talk, I was going to say I'm actually worried about them.
That was kind of rude.
I'm actually worried about them because of one reason, and that is the division-leading Washington football team, which no one thought would probably beat the Eagles week one. And I think I just found out Ron Rivera has cancer. So he what does. A fucking thing to bring a football team besides, you know, what's going on in the world and what have you. Ron Rivera, who seems like a great guy, has cancer. They're going to win every game. Like,
This is my take. Ron Rivera feel bad. Like, that's horrible. Don't get me wrong.
No, for sure.
But 1-15.
They're
going to lose
the next
15 games.
Come on.
Putting it right here.
No, their defense is good enough.
I'm going to call this shot from wherever I am, beyond right field.
I don't like that. That's a bad
call. I love it. I don't.
After 1 week, the football team took Naz's survivor pool. So, like, he's pretty angry.
Well, Gardner Minshew took yours. So,
at least
you have
cool.
a little bit of dignity. Mine sucks.
I picked Philly. You picked Philly as your Survivor Week team? That's
so did
just
like
stupid.
Everyone else.
This is my first Survivor
please.
Pool. That's
you didn't even enter your own
Philly,
Survivor League.
Philly and Indy. Yeah. Philly and Indy killed a lot of that pool.
For
like,
anyone,
not the only
for
one.
Anyone pay, all right, here's what I'm going to pick. Every time we record an episode, I'm going to pick the team I would have picked. I would have picked the Patriots.
Why didn't you join the fucking Survivor pool?
Oh, you're an asshole.
If you're going to do that, dude.
I could have. I'm saving my money. Sets. I'm saving my money for all the fucking sick merch that we just
25.
Got.
Well, I picked the chefs.
You got a problem with that?
I picked the chefs on Thursday Night Football, so I'm 1-0. I'm undefeated. You know who's also undefeated? The fans. Fans are 2-0.
You're also undefeated in being too drunk to get to the Sunday night countdown.
Oh, I know. Imagine if I brought this energy to the Steel and Nats Sunday night countdown. I was out like
Sunday
a
morning
light,
countdown.
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning countdown. I was out like a light.
No, I feel you, dude. It was a close call. I was almost 11 a.m.
Sorry.
Thank you for everyone tuning in. We're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. You guys set you winners. You I told you to pick out. Green Bay, too. I was right on one.
Yeah, it was a good time. I mean, we were coming off our 1 year anniversary, pretty hungover, I would say, all of us.
And we're gonna have more hangovers. There's gonna be more people will bang out, so we're gonna be looking for some Quincy legends to come on. So get ready for war.
There we go.
Our topic two discussion. It's actually kind of ironic that the Celtics are on right now, game two. But the Celtics are trailing 1-0 in this series. Hopefully they're tying up tonight. They're up by 15. So let's just say, I don't know, it's an even series right now. How do we like it right now?
I still like it. I think I don't think there was anything, like, I didn't think we would sweep the Heat, and I don't think there was anything in game one that should worry, like, too much.
No.
Like, that was just a tough, I mean, they had a bunch of leads, but, like, the Celtics just don't hold leads. I don't know what it is.
My big problem is just the game of basketball itself, like,
if they blow this one, this is embarrassing.
Not the game of basketball, but like the NBA. It's just a 3-point league now, and Miami, who's the best shooting team. I mean, with the Warriors, not the Warriors this year.
Yeah.
The best shooting team in the playoffs by far. So how are you going to beat the best shooting team at their own game? No, you set up plays, cuts. You go to the rim. You finish strong. I mean. Big shout out to Bam Bio the other. That was, I mean, they're saying
that was amazing.
They're saying that was a play of all time. It's like game one, dude.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Well, like Mike Steele says,
game one's for cowards.
Boom.
That
put
like
it on his shirt.
People on the internet comparing that to LeBron's block should be like banned from the internet.
Yeah,
like,
that was a game seven against the champs. Against
like 73-9.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
I don't even like LeBron James personally, but that was unbelievable.
I fucking hate LeBron. Yeah. That block crushed me. Yeah. That was way better than that. Miles.
Back on the Celtics, though, like, they show these stats from the last, like, five games. I was saying it before we got on the show here. Kemba Walker, like, won for the century in every game from
it's
three.
Ugly, yeah.
It's like, what's his marquee move? It's the step back from the free throw line or inside the three-point line, which means, like, layups, passing, shooting. That's how they win this game. That's how they win this series. I mean, eventually Miami's going to come up cold, and that's what happened actually last series too. Toronto was actually hitting at all cylinders from the 3-point line, and then eventually they got cold because the Celtics started going to the rim. I think these guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, that's all they should be worrying about going about, because, I mean, if you get by Bam, like, you're getting by everyone.
Yeah. Dragic was a big problem in game one.
Yeah, so. You know what? Doris Burke, though, was talking him up, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it.
That tweet came from you, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't like it. Oh, I didn't like it at all.
But he was killing us.
I like her.
But I just
she had like 29 points and like 9 assists. He merited us.
It sounded like when I hear a commentator and I hear all that stuff, it's like, wow, she wants the Celtics to lose. That's what it says to me.
Well, yeah,
that's fine. I personally love
ESPN
bias.
Wants
fucking
us to lose. Boston teams. Period.
We're the great enemy, dude. Gotta love it.
See,
embrace it.
That's more Patriots for me, though. Like, Celtics.
It's
is
everything.
Like, Celtics,
it's literally everything.
Yeah, Celtics Twitter is the greatest Twitter.
I agree with you. That Kemba needs to.
Kemba does need to step up. I think he's stepping up as we're talking. I think in game two.
We haven't watched this close enough, but yeah.
He's got to elevate his game by being like, I'm not this 3-point guy. Let's go in, maybe shoot 60% from the field instead of 7% from 3-point line. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't like the three.
He's a great finisher too.
Him
like,
or
gets
Marcus
all the way to the rim.
Yeah,
and I hate pointing the money.
Marcus
but,
so
like,
ballsy
with that contract. You got to deliver.
Yeah, Marcus can do whatever he wants. That guy's such a dog.
Oh no, Marcus makes up for it. In
dude,
other ways.
Dude, how about right before end of regulation, they're down by one, and he just gets a free throw by taking like one of his like bizarre charges.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was a foul, so they shot one at the line. They tied the game up after, like, Jimmy Butler hit his first game winner.
Yeah.
So then it went to overtime. Like, that doesn't happen. I bet they missed the last shot because, I mean, you saw the last shot in the fourth quarter. It was about 30-plus feet from Jason Tatum that just, like, had no
chance
at all.
You know what that is? Kobe syndrome. This man spent all summer with Kobe. God rest his soul. Jason Tatum, and I hope he does become the next Kobe Bryant, because then if that's the result, we get a bunch of rings.
That works, yes.
But at the same time, what is Kobe's famous for? Taking some really questionable shot selection, and I really don't understand game on the line. You take a 30-foot jump shot when why not drive the lane and then try to put the pressure on the defense, the refs, everything, and, you know, try your luck then. I mean, obviously, they did try it in overtime when he got stuffed, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the 30-foot block, jump shot just kind of killed me from Tatum.
So we got serious predictions, guys?
Seven.
Give mine. I think season seven.
Yeah, same.
I think
season seven?
Yeah, season seven.
Celtics in seven. Like C, seven. Like the letter.
I thought you said season seven. I was like, what's going on?
Season two, brother. Season seven.
I'm getting my season salad to go from Coops after this. Yeah. Celtics in seven. Let's go. I think it's going to be a lot of similar series to the Raptors, but I think the Heat are just more deep with shooters. But I think eventually they come up cold and they buy into, I won't say my system, because any person who knows basketball, like, that's how they win. They're going to eventually end up doing that. Haven't really watched the game too much tonight because we've been doing this. But from what I've seen, they've been going to the rim. I just saw a dunk from Jaylen Brown about a couple minutes ago. And, what I'm seeing, they're up 15. Hopefully they can hold on to it and not blow like they did in game one. I think it's seven.
Yeah, I think seven. And that's going to be a very, very scary seven if it gets there. That's going to be
Jimmy Butler,
exactly.
Well, the Raptors was a scary game seven, too.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, it was. Because Kyle Lowry's a winner. As much as people shit on him, Kyle Lowry can hit that shot.
It's going
to be a tough championship to win if they can fucking even win it.
Man. Well, no, getting there is like a win. Yeah, I mean,
no. Also Nuggets in seven. Absolutely. Let's go.
Getting there ain't enough. Getting there is cool, but if you get there, you got to win it.
I agree, you got to win it, but I'm just saying, in terms of the Celtics playing LeBron James, like,
obviously.
I kind of think you got to win it because you didn't
throwing out the Nuggets. Forget about the Nuggets.
All right. Yeah, Nuggets seven. Nuggets
beat Kawhi Leonard, which I mean, I'm sure that there was someone here.
I think it's bonehead talk. I think it might be bonehead talk. It's a good segue,
Jimmy. So. Yeah, my bonehead of the week is Doc Rivers and those Clippers. You know what? I put zero. Although he shot like under 30% last night, I'm not putting a second of this like discredit on Kawhi Leonard at all. I'm going on playoff Paul and Doc Rivers for always blowing it. Kawhi Leonard, he brought a whole country to a championship last year. He gets negated of any blame at all. I don't care.
You see his numbers in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I didn't watch the series.
He deserves a little bit of blame.
I don't know.
For that,
I'm not taking it. Paul sucks.
Him and Paul George combined had like 4 points in the fourth quarter. Like combined, they had four.
Team game. Quietly, if you looked at Kawhi's in game seven in the fourth quarter, I think he was 0-7. The whole series in the fourth quarter, he was shooting 22%. There's some blame. I mean, again, playoff P deserves some discredit too. I think the dynamic with the whole this whole team is Playoff P actually slept with Doc Rivers' daughter and then cheated on her with a stripper. So that whole dynamic, I think, really is affecting the team. Doc Rivers is overrated.
Can someone give me a five second on why Paul George's name Playoff P? Because I legitimately don't know.
I'm pretty sure he called himself that.
He was really good in the playoffs when he played for Indiana.
And I think he called himself Playoff P.
I don't know the origin.
I don't know.
I keep hearing it and I'm like,
I think him, like, in a press conference, like,
that
he
makes
was,
sense.
Like,
that
he,
makes
he was,
it
like,
funny.
Playoff P, like, came and, like,
that must be why they're shitting on it. Jimmy, so Toronto Raptors won the championship last year with Kawhi Leonard. Take Kawhi Leonard off the Raptors this year, no championship.
They're exactly
my
what
point.
They were.
Bang.
Yeah, second round losers. Bang.
No. Fake bubble championship.
Wait, what's your point there? I don't even get it.
My point is, out of all the team games, NBA is the most individual based.
It was also sick seeing the Trailblazers just shitting all over the Clippers.
Yeah.
That was mad funny.
That was great.
Dame was just like, what a shot. And it was just Paul George hitting like the side of the fucking rim on like a three.
What was it too? Bermuda, they said Bermuda in three or something to Pat Beverly.
They got on him on Twitter. And I think it's official that besides any Celtics players, that Dame Lillard is my favorite NBA player.
If you don't like Dame Lillard, officially, you're an asshole. So
who does Denver have other than Jokic?
Jamal Murray.
I've been seeing his name tweeted
a bit. Jamal Murray.
Jokic is unbelievable.
As a non-sport, big, you know, I watch sports, obviously, but I don't watch the fucking Denver Nuggets play the Clippers.
Yeah, no, completely understand.
I know Jokic, but I've seen Jamal Murray tweeted. So these guys have a
Jamal
chance
Murray
against the Lakers?
They stand a prayer.
I don't think
it is a prayer.
It will be a cute six-game series.
Yeah, like
I think
a prayer.
The Lakers
a cute six-game series?
Yeah, it will be like there'll be some nice flair maybe in like game three when everything's on the line. They'll take one.
I think
one.
They have the same chance as they had against the Clippers.
I agree with that because I think the Clippers are very good. I think the Clippers are really good. I don't see how the Clippers blew that. It doesn't even make sense to me.
Just seeing the supporting cast finally come around to LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who, I mean, they just both each got voted on the NBA All-First Team. So, I mean, you have two absolute dynamite players right there. And then if you have playoff Rondo just, you know,
I'm just listening to Naz tell us why, like, why should the Celtics even make the championship if you're going to suck the Lakers' dick that hard?
I'm just saying how good of a team it is.
That team sucks.
I mean, how are we going to beat them? How are the Celtics going to beat those guys?
Grit and chemistry.
Yeah, the way the Celtics beat them by staying together, chemistry.
And Gordon Hayward divorces his wife.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm obviously rooting for the Celtics. I'm there's an uphill climb if they play the Lakers in the NBA Finals.
You're right.
But okay, I'll
Marcus Smart Finals MVP.
I would die for it. I would serve like 6 months in like a penitentiary for that.
Give me a year.
We'll go in between nine.
I'll finish our NBA talk on predictions
for Nuggets Lakers. So I picked Lakers in six.
Nuggets in seven. Let's go.
And it's going to sound kind of contradictory too, because I'm a believer in the Nuggets, but I think the Lakers end it in five.
Yeah. See, yeah. What a phony. Oh my God.
I'm here, buddy.
I'll go Nuggets in four.
Just to be that asshole.
I mean, that's
just the king of the castle right there.
When Steele said Nuggets in six, I started choking. I was laughing.
You want that soundbite, just like when I got that soundbite of me predicting the Heat.
My true prediction, Lakers in five. Yes.
Oh, Lakers in five, you agree with me?
Yeah, but I'm saying Nuggets in four.
Okay. Nuggets in four.
Well, so now you have both of them. So if you're
the Nuggets win in four games, you know where to go to.
Yeah.
Magic Mike. I'm giving them my voodoo.
Well, we'll head to our last segment of the show tonight, which is the UFC Fight Night. Normally we wouldn't really talk about big fight nights unless, you know, there was no sports going on like there was a couple months ago. But this one, you know, very different. We have Colby Covington and Tyrone Woodley headlining, the fight night this weekend. You know, Colby Covington, a big -375, favorite. Who do we like, Steele?
Definitely, Colby to win. I really hope that Woodley, like, just for the sake of, like, the fight, like, comes out like an old Tyrone Woodley, because he's, like, just looked like a shell of himself the last two times. Like, I want to see, like, a good fight. I think Colby's just, like, legitimately going to win, but, like, I would like to see a vintage Woodley performance in it.
The thing with Woodley is you see the, these performances by, like, these legends all the time, and they just fall apart. They lose their chin, or they just really don't have what it takes anymore. I mean, we start with the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. You see with all these guys who, even Robbie Lawler, he had a tough showing the last time. Alexander Gustafsson just got pinned by Wordham. Mm-hmm. All these, like, former legends who are, you know, kind of going downhill. The easy pick is Colby Covington. I don't think this fight's going to be as big as they're hyping it up to be, not to be the wet blanket here. But that's my pick. I mean, Colby Covington, not much of a pick. But, that's how it is.
Maybe, like, you know, I wouldn't – like, maybe, like, a small bet on Woodley. Like, maybe gives a vintage performance, you know what I mean? Like, maybe. Throw a little something in there.
Oh, if Covington tries to, just strike with them, I'll give Woodley a chance, but I think Covington's path to victory is to take him to the ground. Yeah. Woodley is a shell of his former self, but yeah, I'm definitely rooting personally for Tyrone Woodley to just, you know, wipe the floor with this guy. And also, again, I retire from betting, but I look at that +300 line, and I it moved. I'm not gonna lie, it moved a little bit.
Do you want me to loan shark you some money? I feel like you bet on Woodley.
I think Covington's gonna win. I will be rooting.
I was on the opposite side of Woodley when he faced, who was it?
Gilbert Burns.
I was actually winning money compared to, you know, having to take out a loan to pay the bookie.
Who won that fight against Burns?
Burns did. If he does do what he did against Usman and just stands up and does it, though, that will be like a much closer fight. And Woodley.
And I read something today that Covington is not a southpaw, but he's been working on both fists. So he's going to, if you're working on both fists, left and right, you're going to probably want to strike in this fight. You're risking it. I think he can definitely just win the fight if he takes him to the ground, but we'll see.
And I thought we'd touch upon the co-main event because, I mean, Donald Cerrone, Cowboy Cerrone, obviously a huge legend. I mean, over 50 career fights. Fight this guy, Nico Price, who I saw, they call him the hybrid. In his last fight, although he lost, this guy, Vicente Luque, who's an absolute beast, you know, went toe-to-toe with him, ended up getting knocked out on the back end of the third round. But I think he's really going to cause a lot of problems for Cerrone. I think this is like... A lot of fights that they do in the UFC is for, like, kind of what we just mentioned about Woodley, the guy fading and the guy rising, and I think Price is the guy rising here. I mean, you still have Nico Price at minus 155. That's still good money for it. And if you want to go on the back burner there and say Cowboy still got some plus 130, take dogs. Either way here, I'm going to go with Nico, but I think Cerrone is, I mean, I think this will, might be the, I looked at all the fights, this might be the fight of the night.
I'm going Cerrone. I think this is the fight that kind of like this is why Cerrone's there. Like, he loses to the big guys and then he like wins this fight, and that's why Cerrone can like continue to fight. Like, that's just like his career. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the fight he wins because he's lost four in a row. Three of those four are McGregor.
How many Ferguson. Can you lose in a row before you like basically retire?
But dude, it's Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, and Conor McGregor.
I'm agreeing with you. Like, I think
you go 0-3 there. Like, most
I think
of
Cerrone's the right move in this fight.
I think they're just gonna throw him out wherever, whenever. I think he's just like solidified. He's got a solidified spot wherever he wants.
He's definitely a legend.
Just like how if Gunnar Balls retires tonight, then it's like he can come back whenever he wants.
That's very true.
100%. But I like what Steele is saying, and saying that, you know, they throw him up against these big names and, you know, they kind of fuck him, but we kind of bet him because
now
it's Cerrone. We love Cowboy Cerrone. How are you not going to love him? And they're going to get me again because, I'm probably
hook, line, and sinker. They're going to get me. Baby.
I love Cerrone. I love Donald Cerrone. He's one of my favorite fighters, period.
But you make a good point saying
I'll throw
fun,
$15 on
he's fun. McGregor, Ferguson, and Gaethje.
Throw $15,000.
And now they're having like fight some guy who's up and coming, but he just lost his last fight. Like, he is not even near those three names I just mentioned. So you know what? Maybe Donald Cerrone might be come back. I mean, we still got a lot of time till Saturday, so I still haven't put the betting yet.
Is he like,
it's like 37, something like that. It's very old for UFC standards.
There's this video of you.
Tyrone Woodley's probably older than
that. There's a video on YouTube of him at a Joe Rogan podcast talking about him escaping a cave. I'm gonna send that to all of you in a group chat.
I watched that.
I did send it to you.
Must watch.
Send that to
me. It's a must. It's an absolute must watch video. It's this guy like facing death.
It gave me massive anxiety, but it was a really good story.
It gave me a lot of anxiety too.
Last thing I wanted to mention, if it hadn't have been for, like, I can't make this guy bonehead of the week yet till he, like, fucks up again, but bet the house against Johnny Walker. That guy's an absolute loser. Last time I saw him fight, I didn't even, lose money on him. He just, like tries to brag in there, like, puts his hands back, and then he, like, put his hands back one time and got knocked the fuck
out.
Corey
Anderson,
like, this guy's he's a big body. Like, he looks like he could be, like, the next real thing, but he's just got a cocky attitude. I don't like it.
Continue, sorry.
No, I'm good.
Before Corey Anderson knocked him out, the fight you're talking about, it was a John Jones, fight, I'm pretty sure, the main event, and they kept talking about how he was going to be the guy that's going to beat John Jones.
Yeah, and then he got beat by
and then he got fucking knocked out in the first round by Corey Anderson.
This is Cody Garbrandt all over again for you.
No,
Johnny Walker.
In terms of hate level, this guy isn't defined. Like,
Cody Garbrandt's much better.
Yeah,
than
he's not distinguished the way Cody Garbrandt is. This guy's a bona fide loser. And I'm not even saying he's going to lose on Saturday. I'm just saying don't even go near that bet. Fuck that.
Well, no, because right here in the nice worded memo you have for us, it says bet against Johnny Walker. Betting against and fading is different.
I mean, yeah, bet against him then. Fuck it. Okay. Just do whatever you want. Stop trying to put words in my mouth.
Seriously. If you're going to recommend, what's that other? There's another cocky fighter. He's got all the tattoos. He brought the
Conor McGregor.
No, the girlfriend. He brought his girlfriend out be his only corner. Who is that guy?
He brought the girlfriend out, too. What is his name?
It was recent.
I know, dude.
If he's that kind of cocky, I want to bet with this guy, because I'm telling you that.
This guy's not fighting Mickey Gall, though. Johnny Walker's probably not fighting Mickey Gall, who's an absolute.
If you guys can remember what his name is, I can't, but Boy, oh boy, that he put on a show that night that guy fought with the tattoos and the girlfriend he brought out in his ring. He didn't even have a corner. He just had his chick.
And then he won.
Steele's going to get that name for us before we wrap up.
Any other fights
Mike
in
Perry,
this card?
Mike Perry.
Mike Perry, yeah. Is it Slippery Pete for CM Punk on it yet? Or
I wish. It's coming. It's coming.
I can't wait for the next
Slippery
Pete. Just
like how Rachel Starr's coming on here, too.
Hey, shout out to Lights Out Wang, 1023, October 23rd. West Virginia, Hollywood Casino.
We'll be at a wedding.
unfortunately. I love crashing weddings. I love being at weddings, but Bobby Lights Out Lang is fighting again. The champ is back. He's fighting in West Virginia.
You know that DM group we're in the Road Dogs League that Billy Football's in? You got kicked out of the group chat because I blocked you on Twitter for a moment. But this past weekend, I DM'd the group and I said, Billy, fight me at Rough and Rowdy, so... If Billy Football wants to fight me at Rough and Rowdy,
I'll skip the wedding.
Yeah, you'll skip. You have to skip the wedding. That's a must. That's a must.
I'll skip it too.
It's a, you know, I already was pretty pissed that the wedding was the night of. I watch Lights Out Lang fight every day. He's one of the best fighters I've ever seen.
You can fight on. You can watch it on your phone.
Oh, I will. I'm gonna.
We'll find it.
But I was looking forward. We were gonna. You know, we're trying to get the RV going down there. I was getting excited. I was going to rent an RV for the boys.
A couple 2-3 natty daddies.
Can I get a Magic Mike minute?
Do whatever you want, man.
Magic Mike's a little drunk tonight. Magic Mike minute. Once again, we're bringing up the RDFL. You have a chance to participate in this league, but we just want me and Gutterballs just won the fucking championship. We won it 30 Natty, minutes ago.
Congratulations.
We've been hanging in our...
I was going to give the shout out, but I like how you took control.
I had to take control. I mean, Gutterballs has been doing this since fucking March. He's one of the funniest guys in the entire community. He's talking about retiring. I doubt he does. But either way, he won MVP this season.
Tears in his eyes.
He's the quarterback of the fucking San Diego State Aztecs. I know anyone who's following us sees it. And he just won the fucking national championship, the Natty. We're drinking Natty Daddies. I'm the middle linebacker.
It means a lot to me and Magic and Anton, who have been in this community for a bit. And it's been it's the Road Dogs Football League on Twitter. If anyone that listens and wants to join, it's fun. All you need to join is a Twitter account. It's a good time. I am just burnt out, though. But, hey, I went out on top. I'm the content king. I'm the MVP. And I'm the national champion. So, basically,
what more could you want?
Yeah, what more could you want?
And that's the Magic Mike minute, folks.
And I want to just harp on that one more time. We got a softball tournament in the works.
We
have it in the works. We finally have our merch.
Got our merch.
We have our merch, so
it's
you can buy that
right
off
by
of
our
us.
Side. We're gonna get it out.
We're gonna be rocking it in front of you. We're gonna be looking good in it, and you're gonna want to buy it.
Is there any other softball related storylines you wanna put out there?
No, nothing.
Yeah, what happened?
Nothing right now.
What happened to the Irish?
Yeah,
pop
actually,
softball
we should bring
team?
That
I'm
up.
What happened
calm,
to the
cool
Irish pub?
Naz, we should
I'm
really
calm, cool, and collected.
All right, well, I'll say it then. The Irish pub fucking softball team is dead, as far as I'm concerned. As the former owner of it. I don't own that team anymore. You know, I tried to fucking bring them to the promised land.
Next question.
I brought tricks to the team.
You did. You brought a lot. How about that tiger suit? We didn't even talk about that.
I wore a fucking tiger suit to the last game. Tiger suit bucket hat combo.
Oh, now you're just an guys, asshole.
And he got on base in the last inning.
Everyone was pumped. Yeah, I got up. I got
yeah,
on
that's
base
a tough L, dude. I got on base a couple times, Naz.
I've gone on base a couple times.
That a boy. Good for you.
I had a decent game. I tagged the guy out at home.
Yeah, it was beast.
All I'm going to say is the Irish pub team is dead. Anyone who wants to revive it, go ahead and do it. But the beginning of the new dynasty is on the way. And
now talking about...
Its name is the Rippers.
The Rippers, baby.
Folks, you really
everyone's welcome. Open trial.
Now, talking about alive teams, the Yankees are very much back and winning
the
World Series.
We
want to get that in there. Nine in a row.
Yeah,
eight in a row.
We don't talk any MLB. The Yankees.
Because the Yankees are doing good, he's trying to shun me.
Are they
but
healthy?
Like,
are they?
Yeah. They've hit in the last like 3 minutes. My phone. The
oh,
five
they beat
of the last
the Blue
six
Jays.
Batters.
Give
have
a shit.
Blue Jays. Oh, the Toronto.
You guys
Blue
shit
Jays.
On me about the Blue Jays and the Orioles making the playoffs. The Yankees just won 8 games in a row versus both of those teams.
Yeah,
fuck you guys.
They lost 14.
Still, I'm riding with you.
Let's go. Yankees.
Let's win a championship.
They're playing the
Let's
Twins in the playoffs as of tonight. Twins suck.
Let's go Rays. Let's go Rays.
Let's go.
Well, I'm rooting for the Padres. I'm rooting for the Padres
we'll
first.
In the World Series.
Wait, you're rooting for the Yankees, dude?
Yeah, he is.
How many Natty Dads have had tonight?
It's either the fucking Yankees or the Rays I got to root for right now.
I'm rooting for the Rays.
Okay,
no,
fair enough.
The Rays. Dude, I can hear Donald Cillo go, Slam Diego! All fucking day.
Well, yeah, oh, I'm rooting for them on the opposite side. Like the NL?
Bring us home.
Like, we'll get there. We'll get there. If they're playing in the World Series, I'll pick one.
No, I'm 100% rooting for the Rays versus Padres. Mm-hmm. Well,
I think that happens.
Minus the fact that, you know, if the I'll never root for the Yankees, but I hope that the fucking Yankees do what Steele wants them to do.
And they will.
I'm not rooting for them.
They will.
I'm rooting for the Rays.
Disgusting. It's the horrid franchise.
But I'm happy for you, is all
Thank
I'm
you.
Saying. Like, do your
We're back
thing.
In action, baby.
Let's go.
Party like it's 2009, right, Steele?
It's 2020, brother.
Oh,
I'm worried
man.
About
They're
this year.
They're not even coming close. Folks, want to thank you for tuning in once again. I think this was episode 10 of season 2. I also want to give a big shout-out to the future of the Boston Bruins, Jeremy Swayman, for coming on the pod. We just got the merch in, just to let you know, so get ready. That's all from Steele and Nance. Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, ladies and gents. One love.
Yep, have a good one.
Let's go.
Buy that merch.
Yep.